Ovid on West Forth by Derek Mann. When his wronged wife Procne sat him down to eat, King Tereus little knew what was on his plate. Afternoon now, some silence in the street, till released children dash to bus and swing. Pretending this dinner was a traditional thing, an Athenian feast fit only for a king, she excused the servants. Throned in his royal seat, poor Tereus sipped his wine in solitary state, and, forking his own son hot from a covered dish, called out, "Hey, send young Itys here to me." Procne could barely conceal her wicked glee, and, keen to tell him the ghastly news, replied, pointing at Tereus's stomach, "There he is inside." "What do you mean?" said Tereus, looking foolish. "I don't see him." Then, as he called once more, fair Philomela appeared, dripping with blood, and flung Itys's severed head, itself streaming with gore, right in Tereus's face, as he picked at his own young. Oh, how she longed then for the use of her tongue! Nothing would have given her greater pleasure than to whisper a few harsh words to her ravisher. As for the king, he nearly had a seizure to think that he should eat his own son, Itys. Howling, he swept aside the candlesticks and called the Furies from the depths of Styx. No. Howling, he overturned the dinner table and called the Furies from the hobs of hell. Unhinged, to think this flesh of his own flesh, consumed by the viscera where the genes first grew, and he his own son's charnel house. He drew his sword to open his own digestive tract and pluck the chewed up gobbets from the mush, but turned instead on the two sisters, who fled as if on wings. And they were winged, in fact. Both of them changed in a twinkling into birds, whirring and twittering inches above his head, swallow and nightingale hovering in mid-air. One flew to the rooftop. One flew to the woods where, even today, the nightingale can be heard, disconting in Convent Garden and Georgian Square. While Tereus, with hair on end and furious sword bill, turned into a hoopoe and is furious still. Never mind the hidden agenda, the subtext. It's not really about male arrogance, rough sex, or vengeful sisterhood, but about art and the encoded mysteries of the human heart.